Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Women's Soccer Zone. We are doing our NWSL previews, and for this latest show we are going to be focusing on Laura Harvey's Seattle Reign. And to help me through this one again is my good friend JJ Duke out in the United States, Deputy Editor of Women's Soccer Zone. JJ, you all right, mate?
All right, we're starting to get down to the back stretch of this, isn't it?
We are indeed. Obviously a number of previews already released. We now focus on, as we said, the Pacific Northwest with the Seattle Reign. And I guess we have to start with looking back at what was a difficult season for Seattle, wasn't it? Suffered some injuries early on, lost Jess Fishlock for a few weeks, and lost Rachel Causey towards the end of the season as well. And I think it would be fair to say, after two almost flawless regular seasons beforehand, last year didn't quite go according to plan for Laura Harvey and her team, did it?
I think it was, you don't often say there are disappointing seasons, but I think by Seattle standards, Kieran, this past year was pretty disappointing. I mean, they've been, to two consecutive finals, won a couple of Shields for the best regular season records, but they dug themselves a hole. They couldn't seem to close matches out, or even really that, get themselves into matches. They just struggled at times. At times, we saw the team that was. They brought in Nao Kawasumi in the latter half of the season, maybe trying to see if she can, you know, bring some of the old flair back and help that team forward. But they just didn't have it.
They didn't. No, and I think that was probably one of the most disappointing things, wasn't it? They weren't ever really able to get going. They weren't able to put a kind of a string of positive results together, and as I say, I think the injuries that they had were probably quite disruptive of that. There were, let's be honest, we have to discuss it, there were things going on off the field that, while Laura Harvey, when I think was questioned about it, she said, look, we can't control what's going on, we carry on as normal. The stuff surrounding Hope Solo and Megan Rapinoe, and actually we haven't really talked about Megan Rapinoe's situation on this, because to tell the truth, there are a number of other outlets that have already been speaking about that. But forgetting about the details of the incidents surrounding Hope and Pino, it's always going to affect a team, isn't it, when something like that's going on?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you're always going to face questions about it. You're, as a player, you feel already uncomfortable with the situation at hand, or maybe some more than others. It depends, but it's tough. Because you already have so much going on. You know, when this all was happening, Kieran, they were still very much in the thick of it. You know, they had a chance. Not that they would have wanted to be fighting for a last playoff spot, but it's better than not to be fighting for anything at all. And then you have X, Y, and Z hang over your head. And oh, by the way, we didn't even mention the fact that they had to play that brutal match at Western New York on the outfield of a baseball field, barely, not even regulation. They end up losing that match, and remember, you know, if they probably play that on a regulation field, if they win that match, they actually go on to be in the NWSL playoffs, and Western New York doesn't qualify. So there's always that to consider as well. But yeah, too much off the field stuff happening that I think really hurt them. It's not going to be the main cause. Always, you know, a player's proud. They're going to say that we just weren't good enough on the season. But when you combine that with things happening outside of it, out of your control, perhaps, that it's just not going to be helping you anymore.
You had to mention the baseball field, didn't you? You had to mention it. I'd forgotten about that.
But it's a thing you look at. I mean, fair play. Both teams had a play on it, and they tried to make the best of it. It was very hard to watch, Kieran.
It was a shambles, mate. Let's not beat around the bush. It was hard to watch, but it was a shambles. It was a shambles.
They made the best of it, and you know, remember also that was a game where Haley Kottmeyer went down with an injury early on, and Hope Solo not there, so you pressed Andy Tostanowski in there in less than ideal circumstances, and you know, she gave it a game effort, the team gave it a game effort, but that's another one of those moments that could have come back to really hurt them.
Yeah, and they pushed it right to the end, didn't they? I think they were in a situation going into the final weekend where they still had a chance of making the playoffs. I think by the time they played the Dash on the last day of the season, I think the chances had gone, because I think, if I remember rightly, the Western New York Flash had beaten the Boston Breakers, and that was enough to secure their place in the playoffs. Off the top of my head, I think that was the scenario.
You are in fact correct. Yeah, Western New York 4-0 over Boston.
That's right. That's right. So the game against Houston for Seattle became a bit of a dead rubber. But look, we're talking a lot about last season and some of the issues that they had. Let's look at what they have going into the 2017 campaign. They still have arguably one of the strongest squads available. They've obviously lost their central focus, I think it's fair to say, in Kim Little. Obviously, we've spoken about some of the other players that have come over to the Women's Super League from the NWSL. Kim Little has returned to the FAWSL. And Laura Harvey has said on numerous occasions when posed the question, there's no point in trying to replace Kim Little because, quite frankly, you can't, can you?
No, you can't. She's one of those players that every coach wants to have on their team because she can do it all. And you don't even need to know much about soccer or really any sport for that matter. But when you see players of her caliber, you know that there's something special. I mean, she was the metronome of that offense. At times she would slow the game down, and at times she would pick it up. She would hit that killer ball in behind, or start an attack by getting the ball out wide, carry forward, and then finish. Or when you needed her to be Johnny on the spot, she would go up and hammer home a penalty. And, you know, she did that for 3 years, and I think really she was the most consistent player in the NWSL over a three-year stretch.
Yeah, difficult to disagree with that. I think she was phenomenal week in, week out. It was very difficult to keep her out of the game and very difficult for defenders to deal with her. And it's a loss for Seattle, no doubt about that. But as Laura Harvey has said, there's no point in trying to replace her because you can't. And sadly for Seattle, I guess one of the players that maybe they looked to try and not replace Kim Little, but to soften the blow of losing Kim Little, was to bring in Diana Matheson from the Washington Spirit. And devastating news for both Diana and for Seattle. She's gone down in pre-season with an ACL injury. Not even in pre-season, I think it was the off-season, wasn't it? With Canada during the Algarve Cup, or certainly just before the Algarve Cup. They're not going to have her for the 2017 season. That is about as big a blow as it can get after losing Kim Little, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I mean, you'd say it's soften the blow. I think that almost, it's not like for like, but it's just about as good of a replacement as you can find in Diana Matheson. I mean, she is world class. She plays pretty much that same position. When she was with the Washington Spirit, she was a fan favorite, as Kim Little was for Seattle. She is a player that when you need to call upon someone in Matheson to bring the level of a team up, she can do that. And when you can't even get her into camp healthy, yeah, that's just going to be a massive blow, not only just for the team's confidence, but, you know, she's one of those locker room people. She, you know, you feel better about yourself knowing that you have a great veteran presence within the group, but at the same time also, you know, just like anyone else, she has a good laugh, has a good joke in there, can lighten the mood, and then can get serious when you want. And of course, when you want someone who's brought home a couple of Olympic medals, that's not too bad either, isn't it?
No, not at all, not at all. And what a blow. And of course, we wish Diana Matheson all the best in her recovery, and hopefully we'll see her back in 2018 for the NWSL and for whatever competitions come up for Canada as well, because she's still a very key part of John Herdman's side as well. They did get Christine Nerin as well, though. And if you're looking at a midfield, you talk about Kim Little's consistency over a three-year period. Christine Nerin coming back to where it all started after she was drafted out of college to the Seattle Reign. She's been misconsistent over that period as well, hasn't she? Maybe even longer.
Yeah, she has. And, you know, it was interesting when she came in with the Seattle Reign, where she was a player that really for the first half of 2013, she had to put the team on her shoulders. Not that it was something that Laura Harvey would have probably wanted her to do, especially just a young kid coming out of college and here, you have to carry us for a few weeks until Megan Rapinoe comes, because she was still playing in France at the time. And she did an adequate job, but now you've seen her game grow with Washington over the past 3 years. But she felt comfortable playing with the Seattle Reign in her freshman or her rookie season, however you want to put it. So I think now Seattle pretty much just gave her up in the sense of for 3 years to go get some seasoning, and now you have a consummate professional out there who can hit that diagonal 40-50 yard ball and also a great set piece special. So now you have Rapinoe taking it with the right, Naren taking it with the left, so you have a great dual threat there.
You do. I'm conscious of time, mate, because we've tried to keep these previews to kind of a certain time limit. And we haven't even talked about the goalkeepers, the defence, or the forward line. So let's try and rattle through as quickly as we can. Hayley Kottmeyer will cement the number one position this year. And it's about time, isn't it? Because I think it would be fair to say she's probably been the best number two in the NWSL over the last few years, has come in when Hope Solo's been unavailable and has done a sterling job pretty much every time. I think she's possibly on the cusp of the US Women's National Team. This year will define whether she's ready to get into that side or not.
100% agreed. And also remember, Seattle, when they release their preseason roster, there is no Hope Solo listed on that team. So this year, as you said, it's Kopp's year. She is the number one keeper. It's her job to lose, and it's her job now to establish calm within the team. There's not too many changes in the back line. You'll probably get into this in a few moments, but she can firmly go into this year knowing that this is going to be her team to lead, not her secondary team, and you know she'll get called in during months X, Y, and Z. I'm expecting a big year from Kopp, no doubt about that.
Yeah, and in front of her, you mentioned the back line. Lost Kendall Fletcher, who has left the club and has gone into, I think, the military service in Australia, which phenomenal move for her, and we wish her well with that. But looking at the players that remain, you're looking at someone like Ellie Reed, very useful outside back. Merritt Mathias was an interesting one last year, wasn't it? Merritt played the majority of her professional soccer career as a forward player, got moved into
Stop.
Yeah.
She did not go into the military.
Did she not?
No, monastery, mate. Religious.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's what I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Let me look this up real quick.
No, I think you might be right.
No, yeah.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Give me a hot second here. Because that would be a pretty... We don't want that to happen.
She's American as well, isn't she? So she can't go into the Australian military.
Yeah. Just give me a quick second here. Yes, she will start a 3-year program, advanced diploma in ministry at the Hillsong International Leadership College in Sydney. So
okay,
I would just go with pursuing another ministry degree in Australia.
Ministry degree. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Ministry degree. Okay. Right. So
I was talking about Kottmeyer.
Okay.
And how she'll have a pretty much returning back line.
Yeah, and that back line that you mentioned, we're looking at the preseason roster, looking at someone like Ellie Reed, who's a useful outside back. They've lost Kendall Fletcher, of course, who's gone to Australia. She's pursuing a ministry degree, so we wish her well with that. Merritt Mathias was an interesting one because played majority of her professional career as a forward. She got moved to an outside back by Laura Harvey last season. I have to say, mate, she did really well and actually earned a call-up to Jill Ellis's US squad. So she clearly has something to offer. You're looking at Lauren Barnes, Rachel Causey, Rumi Itsugi, Carson Pickett, who was, of course, drafted, Maddie Bauer, who was drafted this year. There's depth in that back line, isn't there? I think Kendall Fletcher's a loss for them, no doubt about that. I think Maddie Bauer could be a really, really useful player to slot into that vacancy that Kendall's left behind.
Maddie is class. I mean, you know, played at Stanford, very technical center half, but at the same time, as you need out of any center back, not afraid to go up and get physical. She's been in the U.S. youth national team circuit for quite a while now. She's going to be a big help, and you said Itsugi is going to be in there. Barnes, Corsi, obviously there's a good, strong chance that she'll be missing portion of the season for the Euros. Can't forget about Rebecca Stott, too. Interesting selection there. Former New Zealand, or current New Zealand international, and that defense might be, at least on paper right now, one of the deepest out of the entire league.
Yeah. Deep is definitely the word I would use for that, without a doubt. We've kind of touched on the midfield. We haven't mentioned Jess Fishlock. With the loss of Kim Little and Keelan Winters, I think her role becomes even more pivotal. I think she will be the leader of that team, no doubt. She's been there since day one, and I think she will be the one that drives that team forward. And then looking at the forward line, look, you mentioned depth in the defensive area. Let's have a look at the forwards. You've got people like Bev Yanez, Kirsten Dahlstrom's been there a while. Megan Rapinoe will no doubt have an influence this year, as she always do. Naho Kawasumi, Katie Johnson, Mexican international who's been drafted out of USC. Of course, they won the national championship. And Larissa Crummer as well, the Australian international. There is serious depth in the forward line as well. I don't know how Laura Harvey fits all these players in.
Well, I mean, if Harvey can play a 5-0-5 in terms of a formation, I think it could work. Hey, you never know. But look, I mean, yeah, it's just having a little bit of help in the midfield. They list, as you said, Matthias as a back, but she can get forward. Rapinoe, we can see her slot out as a winger to help in the midfield. And you know, if you have the likes of Naren and Fishlock kind of play as those central players, you're not going to have a whole lot of need for an outside midfielder, because you have so many options, whether they're defenders romping up and down or forwards who can play out wide. They'll be fine, but yeah, hey, never know. Maybe you could go for a 5-0-5 formation.
Hey, look, the 5-0-5 hasn't been trialed before. Let's see if Laura Harvey is the first one to do that. But look, lots of depth in that Seattle Reign squad. I think we should probably wrap it up there, mate. And when we come back after this break, we will talk to a member of the Seattle Reign roster.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSOZone.
And we're back here on WOSO Zone. JJ Duke with you as we carry on with the Seattle Reign team preview in our NWSL season preview series. And joining me now, one of the bright young prospects of women's soccer, as she's a recent national champion with USC and now a rookie for the Seattle Reign, is Katie Johnson. And Katie, coming into this recording a couple of weeks into preseason so far, tell us how things are going.
It's been an amazing experience so far. It's everything that I expected. I knew that Laura was a smart coach and that the training would be quick, and that's something that I was looking forward to. It kind of fits into my style of play where you move the ball quickly, and that's exactly what we did the first 2 weeks of practice. We're always playing, and it's one-touch, two-touch soccer, which I really appreciate, and I think I'm fitting in well with the style of play.
Seattle's very veteran side, a lot of players that have been around the game for quite a while now, and while it's just still very much early goings, which player have you kind of gotten to know a little bit better in the early part of this preseason, try to pick their brain a little bit to help you translate into the pro game?
Definitely, Beverly Inez and Megan Rapinoe, they both play up top. And I think Bev plays a similar type of soccer that I do, so it's nice to see that she's embedded in the system, and I can kind of look at her and see what she's doing and try to implement that into my game. And with Rapinoe, I think we kind of have the same style and see the game the same way, so it's been nice to link up with her up top. And I'm just trying to keep up with them and play good soccer and keep it creative and, you know, push them as well. So it's been a good experience so far.
Well, those are two quality players, no doubt about it. The last time that we chatted with you, that was back at the NWSL draft in January. You were very adamant that you wanted to be here in Seattle. Why was that?
For several reasons. One, of course, that was Laura and her coaching. I feel like I'm more of an intelligent player and like to play a smart game, and I know she's the same way. the one touch, two touch soccer, and playing as a team. And I think I fit in with the style. And obviously, Seattle, the state to Washington, is a great place to live. And I was excited to explore the city and live there too. And also, the fan base here is pretty great. So I was excited with, I guess, a combination of all of those were what I was most excited for.
The one thing I'm curious about is you talk so adamantly about this team. Did you ever have a chance to go watch a Reign game in person? Now, I know it's obviously a bit of a hike for you when you're at USC to get up to the Pacific Northwest, but did you ever happen to cross paths with the team in one of your travels, or did you ever happen to just vacation up in Seattle and get up to a game up there?
No, I actually haven't been to the first time I was at the stadium with our first training, but I was able to watch a few games online, which is nice, but I have never seen a game live, so it'll be a good experience.
Well, in keeping with the theme of these NWSL previews, specifically with Seattle over the past couple of years, we've always gotten some nice tips from some of the Reign players on where we need to go to get ourselves good coffee. Obviously, Seattle, everybody knows the original Starbucks is there, but there are plenty of other good places to go get a cup of coffee. Now, I know it's been a very short time for you being there, but can you enlighten us a little? Is there a place that we need to go check out the next time we're up in the Pacific Northwest?
Well, my host family that I'm hosting with has given me a few restaurants. I'm a big breakfast person, so I went to the Fat Hen, and it was pretty good, and it's kind of near where I'm living, but it's not really near the field. So that's one spot, I would say, but I don't really know too much other than that.
Well, no doubt, best of luck in trying to find that unique spot that you can call yours throughout the season in Seattle in terms of your coffee drinking time. Now, turning a little bit over to your time at USC, obviously the championship run. It was memorable. It was unique in the sense that there are a lot of different pieces that came together. There are a lot of transfers that came into the program prior to the season before this, a new coach coming in and Kidani McAlpine. But you were there throughout your entire career. Why was this year so special as opposed to the years past when you were at USC?
I think being a fifth-year senior who has stuck with the program the entire time, I was able to see the difference in the transition when our coaching staff came in. I came from my freshman and sophomore year where the energy was really bad and it was almost kind of hard to go to practice. And then once the coaching staff, the new coaching staff of Kidani came in, it was just a whole new energy. It was great soccer, and they completely turned the program around. I think that's what made my experience so special, because I was able to see our team, which literally came in last place, become the first place team. And they brought in players, and the players that even stuck around, I think it was just a really special experience to be a part of it. And it was a lot of hard work on our part and their part, and I think we all just kind of It was meant to be this year, and it was really nice that it happened the way it did.
Well, you talked about that fifth year and how the year that you missed out due to injury was the year that this team kind of really came together with all these new pieces. Now, you weren't obviously able to be on the field and get to know your teammates in that way, but you had a unique vantage point where you were able to take in a lot of practices and a lot of the games and learn the different traits about, you know, who your future teammates were going to be, but at least from a different angle. Did that help you in any way translate the success onto the field for this past season?
Yeah, well, when I tore my ACL my junior year and I redshirted, it helped me appreciate the game a lot more and kind of sit back, and it really made me want to get back on the field and play with the team. And it also kind of helped me see what the coaches were seeing. And when I was on the field, I was able to communicate that with the teammates a little bit better and keep it flowing on the game. And I guess I just knew that once I took that fifth year, we were going to win. So that's why it wasn't like really a risk. It was more like, I'm doing this fifth year because I really believe we're going to win.
Well, I mean, it definitely worked out, because we fast forward to the College Cup this past winter, and, you know, it seemed that every chance that you had in that College Cup, that two-game in three-day weekend, you buried it. You had that classy finish against Georgetown. You had a pair of goals, including the game winner in the national championship game over West Virginia. There had to have been something that clicked, because, you know, in that situation for USC and a lot of your teammates, none of you have ever been at that big stage before.
Yeah, I think the that it wasn't that I felt like I didn't really have too much pressure to be the goal scorer. I was just playing the game and respecting it, and I actually didn't start the last two games, and it was we were able to come in and bring in a new fire to the game, myself with Leah Pruitt, and I guess it was just, I can't really say that, I don't know much, like, I can't remember much how it happened, it just kind of happens the way it does, but I was happy it happened.
Well, you had a sensational championship weekend, there's no doubt about that, but the one thing I actually remembered from that championship game, and specifically, and it had absolutely nothing to do with your play or your teammates' play on the field, but it was post-game. You had an interview with the broadcasters for ESPN. You're talking with them, and your teammates unceremoniously dumped you with water. Now, the one thing I remembered you saying was, man, I really wanted to keep this t-shirt dry because you wanted to be wearing it for, I don't know, the next day, the next week, whatever have it. But the thing I'm curious about is, did you get a new t-shirt so you can wear that for at least the next couple of days?
I did get a new shirt, and I wore it for about 3 days straight, and then I had to wash it. So it was pretty funny because I was in an interview that week, and I wasn't wearing the shirt. I was just wearing the hat, and I'm like, why are you wearing your shirt? And I was like, well, I feel like I shouldn't be wearing it 3 days in a row. It's kind of gross, so I had to take it off and wear a new one.
Well, fair play to you on that, because you at least got a new t-shirt at the end of the day, and no doubt you're going to be keeping that one for a long time. And then that success translated over briefly as you joined Mexico for a match up against Canada just a few weeks prior to preseason beginning, and you had a good match there, scored a goal, and you've represented Mexico now for a little while, including playing in the qualifiers for the Rio Olympics. So I'm curious to hear how things are going with your status there, and what's the future for this Mexico team as you guys get ready for World Cup qualifiers?
Something that I'm passionate about and would like to keep doing. I really like the girls, and it's been a really great experience so far. I love playing with Mexico, so I had the opportunity last year after my ACL. That was something that I wanted to do and invest my time into. And I talked to my parents, and I said, yeah, that's something that I want to do. And I've just kind of kept going with it, and I'd like to make the team, the World Cup team, hopefully, and represent and have a good standing that year.
Yeah, well, again, like we said earlier, you know, World Cup qualifiers, it's not in the near future, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on as we get closer and closer to 2019. Is this something that you're trying to focus on a little bit as well, in addition with your club performances?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely, and to kind of wrap things up here as we get closer and closer to the beginning of the 2017 season, what's going to be the biggest takeaway for you for your rookie season, whether it's something that's off the field, on the field, what is it going to be that you're going to be focusing on coming up real soon?
I just want to make sure I stay healthy, and I want to be able to, when I do get on the pitch, make a difference, so whether that's assisting goals, being part of the play, or scoring goals, I just want to be able to make an impact and help the team progress this season and hopefully a championship.
And that was Katie Johnson of the Seattle Reign. Big thanks to her for chatting with us. We really appreciate it. And that will do it for the Seattle Reign segment of our 2017 NWSL previews on WOSO Zone. Big thanks for you guys to listening. And make sure to keep an eye out as we continue on our series of NWSL previews as we get closer and closer to opening weekend. So until next time, goodbye for now.